distinguished civil servants that have come out tonight. We're honored to have you. A lot of friends, a lot of neighbors, a lot of staff, fellow council. It's certainly an honor and quite humbling to be here tonight and our first state of the city address. Certainly, first and foremost, I've got to remember and I'd never forget to thank my family sitting right here. Certainly, without them, I would not be up here. That is for sure. The wife doesn't give a thumbs up. I don't hear it. And then certainly I would ask you to stand up, Terry. My wife, Terry, says, you know, she loves public attention. This is my daughter, Cassidy. Thank you. Again, I thank them very much for supporting me, and I certainly would ask you see him around town to encourage him not to abandon me during this hobby I take on as mayor. Certainly, if I haven't been around much, and I know I'm a rarity at home, but I know I'm not alone, and I share that quality with all my council members, and I appreciate them sticking with me during this journey. And second, and a close second to the family is my fellow councilmen and councilwomen. Here that stand with me and stand next to me. I know this first year has been one of unbelievable turmoil, determination, growth, learning. I think we started off at the 2 a.m. pre-swearing-in meeting, which was on my screen and porch. And you can ask them about that later, but that was... before swearing in, we didn't have rules that four of us could get together, but you know, from that day to December 1st, when we cut the ribbon, and it's been an amazing journey. Certainly, we rolled out the police force on April 1st, and closed our year here barely a month ago. So you guys took on the challenge, unwavering, and hats off to you all. Y'all have done a fantastic job. We have had marathon council sessions. Usually that's when Mayor Pro Tem is heading up. Out there it's a little bit tighter range. But no call to your own there. But, you know, constantly burning the midnight oil, that personal hardship that we've had to endure, some of us have had to endure it all along. We've had to maintain our family lives and in many cases our careers. So, you know, by now I know that each of us knows that this public service is a very, very grueling aspect of life. And so with that, you know, without y'all's dedication and vision, certainly this is not by any means a one-man show. So, you know, hats off to you guys. Tom Taylor. Take away there, Councilman Tom Taylor, Councilwoman Dr. Adrian Bosner, Councilman and Mayor Pro Tem, General Denny Shorten. Warren, I'm skipping you because you're not. Danny Ross, Councilman Danny Ross, Councilman Robert Wittenstein, and Councilman John Hennigan. So, again, I mean, this team certainly is a second family. I guess good or bad, right? We are truly a family, and we stick together. And you guys have always had my unwavering respect and support. So thank you so much, guys. Tonight, I also wanted to certainly thank and give a special note to the executive staff of our city. Those of you that are here, I think most of you are probably here, please stand up and be recognized. You know, this is not a lot. That's called outsourcing. We keep it tight. And I think very few people outside of the confines of City Hall really know the amount that you all go through on a daily basis. And we certainly know, and we respect and appreciate y'all what you do for us and in our community. So thank you guys. Finally, I must thank you all. You all that are citizens of this great community. You know, back in 1971, when this effort really first took hold, one of the first meetings to incorporate, folks went down to the Capitol and tried to get the city of Dunwoody. Finally culminating July 15, 2008, when thousands of you went to the polls and punched the yes on the form of city ballot. From there, you picked out of the candidate list, I believe, of 16. You chose your six council members and myself as mayor, and the city of Dunwoody took hold. You guys certainly didn't stop. It didn't start at the ballot box, and it certainly is not going to stop. I think Dunwoody, the true core and nature of Dunwoody is the volunteer spirit, the community spirit of this city. So the ballot box was punched yes for a city, but the community involvement certainly didn't stop. We have dozens of board members, or boards, committees, all sorts of places where the volunteer spirit has continued on within the confines of the city. So with that thought, I would like anybody who is on a city board or a city committee or a city anything, please take a stand and be recognized. So. We have a lot of CBP people as well. But I talk to you guys. Again, as you all know, the city does not make Dunwoody, and never will. And the minute that we drop, if we ever drop our community spirit and our civic mindedness, then this city is not going to be the place that we all know and love. So keep up the great work. We're certainly in a time of new beginnings and growth. Promise for this city. We are entering into a new year. Not only our second year as a city, we're entering a new decade. I think it's an exciting time for this city, for self-determination, and for the potential direction that we go to. As we look forward, certainly we've got to look back, and the last 14 months has been a whirlwind. But I wanted to celebrate some of our accomplishments and highlight where we confronted our challenges. 2009 was not an easy year for many individuals and families. We faced challenges including a struggling U.S. economy, war, nationwide unemployment, reportedly at 10%, but I think most of us realistically put it at 20%. On top of all that, we're starting a new city. So what a time to start a new city. But through all of this, I think we have accomplished a ton in the short time that we have begun. We have become a city. We've created, executed, and implemented, I think, a true foundation for future success of Dunwoody. Following the elections, we held our first council meeting on October 1st. If you guys can remember back that far. And during the meeting of November, we hired Warren Nutlocker. Warren's here with council. And and those of you that need a little civics lesson in how we're set up, Warren is really the ops guy, is the COO, the operations manager. We are, myself and our council are full-time, although we play that on TV, where Warren is the day-to-day operations guy and make sure that things go the way that we expect it to. So we took Warren from the great city of North Cross, our neighborhood over in North Cross, and Warren came to us with think, 11 years of public service, and as a graduate of the Ohio State University. I think that's the Buckeyes, right? They're not the Southeast, so they're not as important as most. Part of football school, but I understand it is a nice college.
Delaware.
Yeah, Moore has an integral and valuable part of our team here, the council and our team from the Dunwoody community. I really can't say enough about Dunwoody. He's got a very, very tough job, and he does it very well, and he takes a lot of meetings from us and everybody else. And I often say the good things that happen, you'll see my face splashed up on the paper. The bad things, you'll see Warren. we put in the work, but Warren, thank you for all you do for us. On Monday, December 1st, 2008, the city of Dunwoody opened its doors and began operations. And on that first day, we hit the ground running. We voted on a 37-item agenda, and we haven't stopped moving since. Within the first 31 days of our existence, our city manager hired from over 100 applicants, Chief Billy Grogan. And Chief came to us from the city of Marietta, 30 years of experience. He's got a master's degree in public administration and is a graduate of the FBI Institute. So Chief Brogan was certainly not the only person to join our city at that time. By the middle of January, Ms. Sharon Lowry was hired. Where is Sharon? There she is. Sharon, I could stand here for an hour on Sharon, but we'll not do that. Sharon, you're an invaluable asset, as you know, and Sharon is our city clerk. We had a fully functional community development department on board, a public work department, a finance administration department, and on February 25th, we held the city's first municipal court session. And Ms. Tiffany P., Tiffany, are you? Tiffany leads our court. She has a master's degree in public administration, and she was recently recognized as a certified court executive by the United States Supreme Court. I know that's quite an honor and great work. Each of these departments would strive to reach milestones and exceed the expectations set forth by our residents. Because certainly, when you all made the choice to form the city government, we as elected officials and city employees have made a promise. And that promise is that we would make Dunwoody a better community, and that we would do it on mutual respect and maintain the highest standards of professional conduct. And certainly, I know we live and breathe that, and it permeates throughout all of staff, from the department heads down. Let me give you guys a few examples of some of the hard work and dedication put forth by these departments. First is the first police chief for the city of Dunwoody. Chief Brogan was given a task, and he almost ran away from the city when he was informed of this task. But this task was considered impossible by many people outside of council. And this task, again, we thought it was quite simple. And that task was to build from scratch a police force, fully functioning police force, to protect the visitors and businesses and residents of this city. And I think we gave them, 90 days? So, Chief, on March 31st, we swore in 40 officers, 8 civilians, and at 12:01 a.m., it's a day I know all of us will never forget on April 1st, and it certainly was not April's Fool's joke. Our officers hit the streets with the sirens wailing. And I mean wailing. And I think Councilman Taylor is the one that got the report, so there was something. What do you say?
UFOs landing.
UFOs landing. If you live in an apartment with a condo that's lined up by City Hall, and you hear 40 rumblers, 40 sirens screaming out of City Hall all at once, honest to goodness, I think they thought World War II or III or IV had just begun. It was a sight to be seen. And I know many of you share my boyhood glee every time I see one of our officers on the street. I tell you what, that will never, ever get stale. So, now, the stats on our great police force. Today, they have made over 1,200 arrests, written over 6,000 citations, and have made our community one of the safest cities in the state. So, we could take a little impromptu poll. How many of you have been arrested? In fact, I think I had you arrested. great staff. And again, what a fine bunch of quality men and women we are blessed with your force and with the leadership that you give them. And I've got a letter here to read out that, we see a lot of letters, believe me, I get a lot of emails on the police, and I'll sort through the letters. I'm picking which one I wanted to read. Most of them hit my heart, but some of them in a different way, like the person that was drunk that went five lanes over on Astrodome Road to get a telephone pole, who's furious they got arrested for a DUI. Those letters, I get a lot, and I love them. I do love those letters, but those I didn't think were appropriate to read. But I do have one particular letter that I'd like to read about some of our officers, some of Chief Grogan's officers, and what they've done. So let me pull that letter here and read it to you. Chief, I wanted to let you know about an incident that Officer Samoa and Officer Hazeltine handled at the Crown Plaza on Sunday night, January 3rd. We received a call in reference to a disoriented man at the plaza. The man was homeless, having no money, and no place to go, not to mention the freezing temperatures. Officer Samoa and Hazeltine took it upon themselves to help him out. Rather than running off or arrest him, Officer Samoa and Hazeltine bought him dinner and gave him enough money for transportation to a shelter in Atlanta to get him out of the cold for the night. This act of kindness is just another great example of the many good deeds, many gone unrecognized by the men and women of the Dunwoody Police Department. It ends up that I would like to commend Officers Samoa and Hazeltine for going above and beyond their duty to help out someone in a time of need. And I don't know, if Officers Samoa and Hazeltine, they're probably out working the shop. I don't think they're out there tonight. I certainly don't know them personally, but I'd like to again thank them for such generosity. And I mean, I think, again, that attitude just permeates all throughout our operations in the city. So, thank you, gentlemen. All right, turning to another one of our departments. In 2009, Community Development coordinated a series of community discussions for our first comprehensive plan for the city. And those of you that showed up to those, it's quite an interesting process for all of us to go through. The comprehensive plan is a guide that will detail the community's vision and goals for the future. They have been actively involved with our Sustainability Commission. And the Sustainability Commission, some of their accomplishments include the creation of the Dunwoody Community Garden. So many of you have been out to this Dunwoody Community Garden. And 20% of the food grown in the garden is donated to local food pantries. And it certainly has helped provide a lot of meals to those in need. So I'm not sure what they put in that soil to grow those those goods. But as I understand, it took 6 weeks for the first sprouts to take hold and the first vegetables and fruits to be donated. So they certainly have greener thumbs than mine. I can't get my Rice Krispie tree garden going within a year now. So hats off to that department. And I do have some exciting news that it may be a rumor, but I understand that potentially a community beer and wine garden might be next. So y'all stay tuned to the Sustainability Commission. Our public work department certainly has been busy too. This past fall, you might have seen a Star Wars type truck out on our city streets. That was actually a laser truck scanning all of our roads and giving us a detailed look at the problems, the good, the bad, and the ugly of our roads. So using this study, it's going to allow us to rate and improve our roadways in a timely manner and in a sensible manner. It's not going to be someone's road that's going to get repaved because they know more people than anybody else. It's methodical, and they've done that this year. So hopefully we can make our roads a better place for everyone. And stay tuned on that. We've got more information this year on what it's going to take to keep our roads up to an acceptable level. You know, the Public Works Department also has partnered with the Delaware Homeowners Association, and they implemented an Adopt-a-Spot program. They repaired over 375 potholes, and they also worked with the Perimeter Improvement Community District, the PCID, to upgrade four major intersections, and that includes sidewalks, updated traffic signals, traffic masks. On top of all that, they answered over 100 emergency calls and situations throughout our city this past year. So they've done a fantastic job there in public works. And believe it or not, our roads were just graded, when we rated above the average, which is shocking. I hate to see the average. There's also another letter I'd like to share with you, with y'all. I find it here, and it's in regards to the public works department. And I think this one actually was a letter to the Tony Cryer. And yes, there can be positive letters to the editor. Okay. So this is one of them, and I have pulled it out, and it's a very nice letter, and I'll read it to you now. Kathy, dear Kathy, I wanted to write and publicly thank the City of Doney Department of Public Works. I called and spoke with the manager, Chuck, this morning because there was a 6 to 8 week old kitten that had fallen into a storm drain on my cul-de-sac. Chuck sent Joe and his crew over to look into the situation. It had started raining, but this did not deter them from climbing into the drain to try and retrieve the kitten. Unfortunately, they could not reach the kitten, but they told me if I could hear it come back closer to the drain entrance, to please call them back. Several hours went by, and my neighbor and I went back over to the drain to check and see if the kitten was still alive. We heard it crying loudly, so I called Chuck's office again, and I spoke with Jada, and I asked Chuck if he could please send Joe's crew back over. The two arrived in the pouring rain, and Joe's assistant pulled up the trap, which my neighbor had lowered into the storm drain, and that night before, and lo and behold, the kitten was cleaned the cage for dear life. I immediately wrapped the soaked, shivering little kitty in a towel and took it to Dr. Cecil Johnson's office at the Dudley Animal Hospital. I am happy to report the kitten is in good health with no lasting effects from the ordeal, and my neighbor decided to adopt her. I can't thank them enough for saving this one small life. As Gandhi said, the greatness of a nation and its moral progress can be judged by the way its animals are treated. Chuck and his people in the Public Works Department showed me the greatness of our City of Denver. So. I guess we say that Public Works helps not only two-legged, those of us with two legs, but those of us with four legs. And I'm not looking at you, Brady, for any reason. the city's finance and administration department has also been extremely busy this past year. It created an entire finance system for our city, and we are totally blessed with the with the expertise and the talents of Chris Pike, who is our director. Chris, stand and take a bow. I tell you, Chris keeps us straight too on the financial side. He's doing a fantastic job. This department includes a lot more than finance. We also house IT, human resources, purchasing, marketing, taxes, and licensing departments. So again, you look at a slim government, you squash everything into one silo there, and it works well for us. IT certainly continues to have an active and busy past year. They're helping us communicate. They've designed and deployed 438 mobile data terminals for the city's police force. So our entire technology infrastructure for the city and our departments are now seamlessly talking with each other behind the scenes and on an IT perspective. Those of you that have seen our website, the IT department has built that from scratch, and it's a great website. I think it's easy to navigate website. You can place a work order. If you guys see a pothole, jump on the internet site, and you can place your work order right there, and it will get in the queue. And those of you, again, I'll do another little poll here. Who uses Twitter and Facebook out there? All right, so that's what I thought. Not a bunch.
They're all set.
I haven't gotten into it. I'm in the IT side. But we do have Twitter and Facebook off of our website as well. So for the younger generations out there, that social networking thing is all about, we've intertwined that into onto our website. Human resources was very busy. They helped hire Officer Grogan's 48 officers in the short three months. They created an employee handbook, created a competitive benefits program, and in anticipation of the recent flu season, they had all employees and their family members, or offered to have all employees and family members out to get their regular flu and H1N1 vaccine. So certainly not to be overlooked is our municipal court. As I mentioned before, they've been very, very busy. We began service last June in our new location, Holy Court, twice a week. And as I mentioned before, we processed over 7,000 citations. We offer translation for a whole host of languages. We have four part-time municipal court judges, and if any of our judges, I know Judge Del Campo is here. Stand up if you're one of our four
Sheriff Boston
judges. Jerry's out there. You see, Judge Boston, where are you? See out there? No. All right. Mayor Pro Tem is in there saying that he's not a sighting, but we did not get it. He's throwing me off. That's his job. Judge Del Campo, with Judge Wolf, Judge Boston, and Judge Powell—they're doing a fantastic job on behalf of this city. And we have two part-time solicitors as well working there in the courts. So here we are, 1 year later. And it was said over and over and over and over that we couldn't do it, that we mutually couldn't do it. It was impossible. We would never make it this far, never get a police force up and running, never open a city hall. We just couldn't do it. Well, I'm proud to say that here we are, and we did do it. And I think by virtually any measurement that you can take, we've been successful. We are as a community, despite, as I mentioned before, the greatest recession that we are going through, and certainly at least one generation. I think we can say we are better off as a community than we were 1 year ago, and that's an amazing. You know, we are a resilient bunch. If there's anything to say about the citizens and the community of Dunwood, it's certainly resiliency. It's easy to look back on 2009 and think that the tough part is over. And you know what? In some ways, I think it is in many ways. It certainly is not. As we look ahead to 2010 and the road before us, you know we're going to have constant challenges and many triumphs. And as we approach each of these with a fresh slate and look at it as a new beginning, I know we're going to continue to excel and to thrive and to surmount any obstacle that comes our way. We're going to continue to build on this foundation that so many have painstakingly poured, not only this past year, but over the many, many decades. Again, this year we have looked forward to the inaugural comprehensive plan. I mentioned that before, but that's a plan that looks at the whole city and looks 20 years, 15 years down the pipe and what do we want? What do we not want our city and our nodes to become? We have a master redevelopment plan for the Dunwoody Village area and the Georgetown and North Shalford areas. And these documents will help create a quality foundation that will guide all future development for this city, for this area, and for the Georgetown, North Shalford areas. You know, you look, you pause for a minute and look down by the old Dunwoody Emory Medical Center, and you know, you can see the half the glass half full or half empty, and we see it as half full. There's a whole lot of property down there, a whole lot of empty property, and we think it has and will be something very special that we can all be proud of. So it's important that we start getting these plans together and these foundations together in anticipation of when the economy turns around and things pick back up. Of course, doing these plans is going to help us all in the future. It's going to help preserve the things that we love and cherish from a historic perspective. It's going to assure our economic vitality, and it's going to protect our many picturesque neighborhoods that we're so proud of as homeowners. So with these reports and created by our Public Works Department, they're going to help outline a lot of the important initiatives. Another one of our big initiatives in 2010 is going to be repaving. As I mentioned before, the Star Wars trucks have been out. We've got all the data back, and now we have to get the money and start putting some money into repaving and potholes. So we do have that as a major initiative, and you should start seeing some potholes fixed. I'll stop and pause again because I like this back, and I know those of you that have been some other speeches I've had about our budget compared to our sister city, Sandy Springs. And Representative Willard, you can, and Harry, you probably can back up these numbers, but if you look over at Sandy Springs, you've got, they're just shy of a $100 million budget, and they've got about 90,000 residents. Our city has 40,000 residents, and our budget's about 16 million. So, if you do the math, we can stretch a penny, my friend. And we will continue to do so. But I always point out the reality of, you know, you drive to the Sandy Springs and it's oh my gosh, everything's new from roads and parks. And they certainly are blessed with a whole lot more budget than we, and that's okay. We're going to knock these things out as appropriate in the city of Dunwoody. But we're not going to have the super speed highways like Sandy Springs has been able to pay. And I think that's maybe okay with most of us. You know, we're trying to slow down the traffic anyway. So be prepared in the next few months to see our road crews out again, repaving and fixing some potholes. You know, the other important aspect of 2010 certainly is traffic mitigation and controlling traffic. And I think I may be so bold to speak on behalf of council myself, and I'll tell you what we're not going to be looking to do, what we're not going to be pursuing is widening our roads to four lanes. It's not going to happen. Believe me, I've heard those signs, and I know Like many of you disagree with that stance, but I think we share in the thought process that if you build it, they will come. And we're not going to build it as far as four-lane roads. So you're not going to be seeing that. But what you are going to be seeing is many traffic studies. We're going to be studying different intersections throughout Dunwoody in our master plan. It's going to include looking at traffic cycles. It's going to include sidewalks. It's going to include bicycle lanes, just overall improvements that we can find in this traffic master plan. We're also going to be looking at doing intersection improvements over at North Peachtree and Tilling Mill and Mount Vernon and Vermac. So those are on queue for 2010. I know we're going to continue to work towards the acquisition of our parks and of our green space, and stick with us as we continue that particular journey. And we're going to, part of that process is protecting what we have now. Neighborhood shopping, dining areas. We need to make a commitment to the protection of our environment, and we're going to continue that with our sustainability commission. So as we work to 2009, we're going to be doing some green initiatives with our sustainability commission. This past year, we have gotten, getting on the sustainability commission, we've gotten 105 points, I believe, towards what they call a certified city. And they gave the last 70 points. We are going to focus on initiatives that we're going to bring out to you, to the community at large. And some of those initiatives are more efficient outdoor lighting, implementing sustainable building policies, and working to create and adopt a citywide green space plan. There's also another major initiative that we're looking into. It's called the Zero Waste Zone Initiative. And one of our hotels down Ravinia has been certified as a zero waste zone. It's very interesting in what they're doing. So that's something that we're interested in, and our sustainability commission is interested in. So we'll be pursuing that. And really, sustainability, from my perspective, it is our responsibility. I do believe that. Not only for us here and now, but when we leave in future generations, we need to do what we can to sustain Dunwoody. Well, we all know Dunwoody is a great place to live and work. Start a business, work in a business, and otherwise enjoy a fruitful life. We all choose to live here because it provides us all an excellent way of life. We have first-rate schools, and I believe that's driven by extreme parental involvement, and we have nonstop citizen involvement. And in 2010, we're going to bring more businesses to Dunwoody. So we're going to try. We know we see the empty office spaces. We see a lot of signs and windows. And by encouraging new business growth in our area, we're certainly going to help secure the future of our city and all of our livelihoods. We're going to have a concentrated and multifaceted approach to letting folks know outside of Dunwoody. We are here, and Dunwoody is the place to be in Measure Land. And, if you look at previous times, I don't think that message has ever gotten out. It's not that we don't want to preserve, we don't want to ruin what we have, but the message really hasn't gotten out, and what a fantastic community that Dunwoody is, and what a fantastic place to have your business, and what a fantastic place to move and raise your children. So we have a multifaceted approach to get that word out. As we look into 2010, we have to make sure that this city is a place that we can all prosper and thrive. It would be an enormous mistake to use these tough times as a reason to retrench and not do anything. We're certainly not going to do that. Not this council, that's for sure. There's not one pushover sitting here to my left or right. I can guarantee you that. we're going to continue to be bold. You know, we didn't grow from a group of little settlers down on the Chattahoochee River because we were intimidated people or people that cow down. And by the way, I'll stop here and reach that. But that's part of Dunwoody is now in Sandy Springs, and we'll be speaking of Sandy Springs by bringing that back to Governor. I just want to get that in there. We have our representatives here. I know I need to talk to Mayor Galambos, but we'll throw that out. But you know, we've been a persistent bunch in Dunwoody, and we're going to continue with our strength and determination and ensure that our area and this city will always be a city of resilience, of determination, of new beginnings. So, you know, many of the things that my fellow councilmen, many things we do on a daily basis and the meetings we have, they're not instant gratification things. You know, they're really quite boring, honestly. But you know, we're building the and Robert, I didn't know what you framed. Yeah, these fruits, many of the things we're doing, the fruits are not going to be born immediately, but certainly for future generations, so many of the things that we're doing on a daily basis, we know will be there for generations to come. And you know, I'll end it up, I am so proud of working with my fellow council here, and you know, I'd just like to make the statement, and I'll be so bold to make a pledge on their behalf. And by the way, I'd like to do that per Charter Section 2.845, if you want to look it up. But you know, we never were, as we joined, as we all went forward together on this boat trip, but you know, we always have joined as one on behalf of this community, on behalf of Dunwoody. Never has this council been of district fights or pieces and parts of east or west, south or north or mid. We truly are united in one, for one community, for this city of Dunwoody. So I pledge that we certainly going to keep that up, and I thank you all for sitting with me during this speech and for coming out and sharing the evening with us, and God bless you guys. Thank you.
Fun is only beginning.